And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, there's one thing that I know after many years of life, and that is that prophecy never fails. Oh, predictions, they come crashing down, and people predict things all the time. They evaluate, they analyze, and they give their opinions, usually wrong. But prophecy never fails. But make sure that what you're hearing is prophetic. A prophecy is from God, and it can't fail because God makes things happen. And He decides things in advance. He determines the future from yesterday. He knows everything that occurs in the world. I've often forewarned people that God does not live by our time. I don't know how time works. I've read quantum physics, of course, many books on it because it just captured my imagination, you might say. But I never could quite figure it out. There's string theory and there's all kinds of gunky stuff. And, you know, they can make it sound so good. And some quantum physicists say that everything that ever happened is happening now. Others say that everything that you see all about you is actually in your own head and not outside of you. So there's all kinds of theories and predictions. And it proves God's point that being prideful and thinking you know the future is really not a very wise way to go. You're very conceited. And the Bible warns in many verses, and I have a number here, that you should not be so conceited in yourself that just when you think this or that is going to happen, well, it doesn't. You know, in the book of James, and in the Bible, it says that don't say to yourself, I'm going to go to this town or that town tomorrow and buy that piece of land or do this certain thing. Instead, say, if it's God's will, I will do that. Well, I can understand that, can't you? So many people are saying, I'm going to do this or that. They may not even be around tomorrow. They may be in a casket. This may be the last day of your life. So don't say, I'm going to do this or that, but instead say, if it's the pleasure of God, I will. Well, I was thinking recently, I was looking at the circumstances that we're all in today in the United States of America. We're certainly the richest country in the world, even though we owe more than any country to. We're the biggest debtor in the world. Our Fed Reserve owes trillions of dollars while we're lending or giving billions, trillions to every huge bank in the world. Corporations in Germany and England and Belgium and Greece all are getting free money from us. Well, they are supposed to pay it back without interest even. Wouldn't you like to get a loan without interest? But the problem is that we know that many of them will never pay us back. We are the richest country in the world, and we're the most corrupt. Can you imagine any nation on earth that has sent more devil music, more devil sexual perversions, more of everything evil into the world? Only the United States. Recently, I was watching TV and the newsman was talking about what went on at the MTV Awards. And of course, there's always an outrageous scandal that goes on there because the elite of this world, that's where they have their dress rehearsals. They choose certain individuals, and those individuals will be their, well, their mother goddess, let's just say. Their mother goddess for a certain number of years until they fail, until their usefulness is done. They must keep getting more and more outrageous, shocking the world, as Madonna or Britney Spears. And now we have, Miley Cyrus, who started off on Disney-like programs as a little girl. And oh, the little girls of this world fell in love with her, and they adopted a name for her called Hannah Montana. Her father, of course, sang music and country music, Billy Ray Cyrus, and he was her father on a sitcom. And all the children watched it until she got too old for that. And then the elite got together and said, what are we going to do now? She's done well as a young girl and as a preteen, as a teen. Let's break her into the world. And so they began to have her take drugs and have sex and such. Finally, now came the breakout, came the unleashing of Cyrus, Miley Cyrus. And it was on MTV, and there she came out with a big foam hand, made of foam, holding it, wearing what appeared to be plastic panties and a bra, and that's all. And she was doing what they call twerking, which is basically simulating sex on stage with another man dressed inappropriately. And, of course, the crowd went wild. They were outraged. They were shocked. Many of them laughed. And she did her song with this gentleman. And I think the name of the song, I haven't seen it all. I only saw the little clippets on the news. But the name of the song was We Cannot Stop. We Can't Stop. Because you know what they can't stop doing, or supposedly. And I thought, poor Miley Cyrus. She has been chosen as the upcoming Mother Goddess. And she has a theme. Every year, see, when they do these things, they have a theme. Her theme, of course, is I am yours, Mr. Pedophile. That's her theme. I am here for you, pedophile. And of course, she came out and, you know, with all the big stuffed animals and all that on stage. And she had her hair done up short and in two knots on top of her head that looked like horns of the devil. She hung her tongue out and then it would go to the left and then to the right and then hang down as far as it could possibly get. Of course, all of that is a sign of Satan. You're admitting Satan. And I could talk about other things, but she was unleashed. We will see much more of her. She was a great success. And I know the Parents Council and other people, including myself, are disgusted, outraged, and really shamed that anybody in America would do such a thing. But she was a great success. A great success. I feel sorry for her. She will end up in very pitiful circumstances, I assure you. Now, I began to think about Miley Cyrus and the United States and how far we have fallen as a nation. And the other day, I was watching Fox News Network and Bill O'Reilly Factor, the Bill O'Reilly Show. Bill O'Reilly, of course, will do anything they tell him to do, and he appears to be a traditional conservative, so-called. He is a Catholic, of course. And he had two former officers, retired officers, as guests. Colonel Peters and Colonel David Hunt. And it was O'Reilly's opinion that it was mandatory for the United States to go into Syria and bomb. Oh, we could not keep our world empire unless we showed that we had strength. And accordingly, he says, we've got to go in and send missiles in, send, you know, everything but our troops on the ground into Syria, a very small country in the Middle East. And we've got to show them that they cannot kill their own people. What were they accused of? Well, according to the Israelis, who had supposedly intercepted phone calls and messages from at the top from officials in Syria, they had carried out this attack. And hundreds of their own people lay afflicted from a sarin gas attack. And President Obama had stated quite a while back that this was the red line. If Assad, the president of Syria, used chemical weapons against his own people, the United States would go in and teach him a little lesson with our military forces. And for that reason, we've got, of course, you know, thousands of Marines and other troops there in the Mediterranean, off the shores near Syria. And, of course, we've got all our missiles and missile carriers and submarines and aircraft all ready to go. Now, why is it that out of almost 200 nations on Earth and as members of the United Nations, why is it that we're the only one that is the world's policeman? If he was going to kill his own people, why would we get involved in that? After all, the United States has often killed its own people. Think of Waco. And whether you believe it or not, think of Oklahoma City. So the United States is guilty of killing many of its own people in various incidents, all the way back to the Indian days when we killed so many in the tribes, stole their land. We stole Texas and California from and other states from Mexico. I know you probably don't agree with me on all that. We did the right thing, right? Correct? But in any case, I was watching O'Reilly, and when neither one of these officers agreed with him that we should go in because they said we don't have evidence. We believe the terrorists there fighting against Assad, see, they've had an internal revolution going on for about 2 years, that it may be their weapons. But in any case, the United Nations team is there now to evaluate and tell us what really happened. Why don't we wait until they're finished? They're going to be finished in 4 or 5 days. Why doesn't Obama wait? And boy, were they ever berated by Bill O'Reilly. Colonel Hunt and Colonel Peters, basically you're two dumb idiots. And this guy who never served one single moment in military uniform, Bill O'Reilly, is going to tell you what to do. He knows what's best. Because Obama said, we know that Assad did it because Israel told us so. Of course, Israel has for years been trying to get the United States to go in and bomb, strafe, and take Assad out. Now they saw an opportunity. Of course, Obama knows that Israel makes up such things. Their intelligence is a total flop in its idiocy. All the world knows it. And Obama was going to use it, just like George W. Bush used fake intelligence to get us into the Iran war. And afterwards he says, I had no idea it was fake. Well, thousands are dead and a million Iranians or Iraqis, Iraq. People are dead. Cities are leveled. It's just one of those things. We had flawed intelligence. And of course, this is what would happen. We go in there, we degrade Assad's capability, and, because we want to be in the Middle East. We want to destabilize those countries. We want them to be fighting with each other. If all those countries can be fighting each other and have internal revolutions, then basically we've conquered them, haven't we? We don't even need any troops over there. If the Lebanese, the Yemenis, I think you call that, the Afghanis, the Iraqis, all of these countries are fighting amongst themselves internally, then Israel is the winner. And a greater Israel empire can be constructed from the ruins. That's really what's going on, of course. And these two colonels that have gone along, I've seen them for years there on O'Reilly Factor, agreeing with him about Iraq, about Afghanistan. Finally, they've had enough. And O'Reilly said to them, well, are you doubting your own government? How dare you, basically, he said. How dare you doubt your own government? You don't believe Obama? Peter said, no, I don't. Hunt said, we've been lied to many times before. I'm going to have to see the evidence. I don't believe it. What? You don't believe your own government? O'Reilly said. And both guys stuck by their guns. Now, both of them are paid Fox contributors. They're retired officers, and they're paid to be Fox contributors. And yet, they wouldn't lie for O'Reilly. O'Reilly obviously was told a lie, I'm sure by Roger Iles, the head there. And he goes along with whatever they tell him to do. He's for immigration reform, meaning amnesty. Oh, yes, that's the way to go, amnesty. He's for whatever they tell him to do. And, of course, he's at the annual AIPAC and ADL conferences, too. As is Mr. Iles, the head of Fox News, and Rupert Murdoch, their boss. And you know what? I actually finally felt a little happiness. You see, I'm a retired Air Force officer, and I felt very good about these two Army officers that finally had the courage to say, I'm not going to lie anymore for Obama. What? You don't believe Obama, said O'Reilly? No, we don't. Now, let me tell you, friends, they will probably lose their contract with Fox. They will not be getting paid tens of thousands of dollars to sit there and to lie on behalf of Obama, as they did for George W. Bush and even Bill Clinton. I believe that both these gentlemen are embarrassed over the past, over all the lies they've slung out. Finally, they're telling the truth. There are some highlights in America today. But generally, we're in a big mess, are we not? We're in a big, big mess. Of course, the next night, O'Reilly had James Rosen on, a Jew who's one of the reporters at Fox. And what did he say? Oh, yes, they apparently have the chemical weapons, and Assad is using them because Israel told us so. And basically, O'Reilly said, well, that's it. That's it then. If Israel said it, then that's it. It has to be true. Well, Israel told us years ago that Iran had nuclear weapons. And in just a couple of months, they would use them. We've been told over and over. Israeli intelligence says that Iran has nuclear weapons, and they're going to use them on America. Of course, they have no such weapons, and they never used them. And this is just bluff, and it's impressive for all the Christian evangelicals and the deceived fools out there that actually believe that Iran is a big threat to America. Now, I talk about that because I want you to understand something. I think America is in a big, big mess. We're in real trouble. In fact, I want to ask you a question. Will the United States, will America even survive until the year 2025? I want to make that my theme today. Will America survive until 2025? That's only a dozen years from now. But friends, signs tell us an implosion is ahead. What is an implosion? It's the opposite of explosion. It's what happened in the Soviet Union. They could no longer maintain their empire. They could no longer effectively run a police state. And in terms of world business, their factories and manufacturing was kaput. And for years, they had put on a front. They had built up a military, certainly, but it wasn't that effective. And I don't think to this day that the military in Russia is effective. And most of their weaponry is so inadequate, so shoddily built, that it cannot survive a war. Putin has a big mouth, and I'm thankful for him. He's the only counterweight to the United States. But he knows that he has nothing to throw against the United States. Nothing to throw against us. And the entire economy of Russia is based on their selling of their oil and gas. And if they didn't have that, well, they'd be in real trouble, wouldn't they, as an economy? Back in 1972, I was a senior at a university, and I penned an article. My major was political science, by the way, and I was taking a course called Soviet Government. And we were discussing a series of topics called Problems in Soviet Government. And the more I learned about the Soviet Union back in 1971 and 72, the more I realized that the Soviet Union was finished as an empire. And I wrote a thesis paper. It was almost 50 pages, if I can remember, long. And I entitled it, Will the Soviet Union Survive Until 1984? It was not a prophecy paper, but it was a policy paper that said all of the signs are there for an implosion. I stated to my professors in my paper that in another decade, the internal weaknesses within the Soviet Union will become so powerfully huge that it will fall on its own face. You know, the professor that taught that course was very impressed with my paper. I got an A+ on it, but he wrote me back about a 4-page answer to my paper where he said, the experts are all agreed that the Soviet Union is at the height of its power. And he said Nixon and Kissinger are being forced to accommodate to Eastern Europe, which is run by the Soviet Communist Party. How can you dare say, Tex, that the Soviet Union may not even be around in another dozen years? He said, you should have maybe addressed your paper, will the United States be here or survive until 1984? Now, I never really intended 1984 as the exact date. I was sort of taken off of George Orwell's book, 1984. But I saw a tremendous weakness in the Soviet Union. And I stuck to my guns. He thought the paper was good, even though he did not agree with me. He and all the experts, even Henry Kissinger and Nixon, believed that the Soviet Union was at the pinnacle of power. And the United States better try to accommodate the communists before they got even more powerful. But I saw internal flaws. I saw horrible mistakes being made. I knew that the nations, if they kept together with their force, with their powers, were about to break apart. Now, in the 1980s, in fact, the Soviet Union did break apart. And now they're all individual nations, most of them. We have, you know, Kazakhstan and Georgia and all of those nations, and Latvia, Lithuania. Of course, there's Romania and Hungary and Poland. All of those countries are independent today. And just as I stated in my paper, the Soviet Union fell apart. One day it was one of the two superpowers in the world, and the next day it was nothing almost. And since then, we've discovered that much of what they had was all bravado, was all built on thin air. And when President Reagan went to Germany and said, take down this wall, well, the wall was about to fall on its own, it seemed like. And the Berlin Wall, of course, fell. Now I apply this same analysis in the United States, and we're at the pinnacle of power. What other nation on earth can compete with us? I mean, everyone is afraid of us. We've got forces, military forces, in 130 nations on earth. We've got our Central Intelligence Agency and our National Security Agency are wiretapping the whole world. They own the internet. I believe half of the websites you go to are all fakes. They're all, you know, run by intelligence services. And whatever their webmasters tell you is all a bunch of baloney. The signs are everywhere that America is in a state of collapse. Oh, we may watch TV and we see that we've got televisions that can receive over 225 networks and stations at once. But can you find more than one or two that are quality programs? I mean, come on, folks. Where do you really stand on television? It's mostly trash. But when you look across the landscape of America, think about it. Economic confusion and chaos. Rogue military forces. We have gulags across the world, not only in Guantanamo, murdering and torturing thousands of people across the globe. We have a runaway international intelligence network. We have bloody, thuggish, crazed black people terrorizing whites everywhere. TV and media networks broadcast only what the government wants them to. Our drug laws are violated openly. Prisons are bursting at the seam. The border with Mexico is an open sieve. Sexually depraved youth everywhere doing outrageous things. Taxes exploding upward. An out-of-control welfare system. Our property rights under attack. The Bill of Rights viewed as an out-of-date, dead white man's law. And finally, a Christianity bent so far out of sync it has become a national laughing stock. We say we're a nation, an empire. No, my friends, we're a pitiful, stumbling, bumbling giant about to fall. And I'm going to tell you more about this and exactly why America will not survive until 2025 when I return. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. It's so great being with you today. We're looking at, will America survive until 2025? Momentous things are happening in the world. One of them has to do with DNA science. Did you know that we've discovered that the so-called Jews are not Jews at all. They're not Israelites. They have no connection with Abraham. They're not of the bloodline. They're actually Europeans from the Caucasus. They're Khazars. That's a shocking revelation that we've now found out through DNA science, which is God's mathematics. DNA is how God constructed the whole world. It's how your body is created and put together. My new book is DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Oh, people are quibbling with this part of it or that part of it or whatever, but they cannot quibble with the science. It proves it. What are Christians going to do now that the Jews are not Jews? Because they've always said we've got a holy duty. The Jews are back in their nation and they've returned and they're the seed of Abraham and we are forced to help them. The Bible says we are to help them to rebuild their nation again and have a Jewish empire. Well, I've never heard such nonsense before. That's not in the Bible at all. And in fact, in Matthew 21, verse 43, it tells us that Jesus took the kingdom away from the Jews. They're gone, my friends. They're not anywhere in world history. They say they're Jews and are not. But they are the synagogue of Satan. Did you know that's Revelation 2? And Revelation 3 repeats it? That's what God says to the seven church ages. That's in the book of Revelation. Them which say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. And now we found them. You know, a lot of science is junk science, isn't it? Evolution and things like that. I don't believe for a moment that you and I came from a monkey or a fish or anything else. Yeah, I'm one of those old-fashioned creationists, I suppose. I'm just a believer in the Bible, and the Bible tells me what I discover in DNA science. That's how I know DNA science to be true. The Bible comes first, science second. And when they both agree, well, I'm agreed too. That makes three of us, doesn't it? The Bible is God's word. I believe in God's word, and science bears out the Bible. Simple as that. I want you to get this book. It will change your life. It will change your outlook, your perspective about the so-called Jews. Are there any real Jews, pure Jews in the world today? No, I don't believe so. But there is a small segment of Jews called the Sephardic Jews. They constitute about 80% of all Jews. They may have some real Jews within their ranks. Maybe not, though. I cannot sit here and tell you with assurance that there are people who can trace their heritage all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe Israel ended around 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, voluntarily gave up his life, but lived because he rose from the dead. Now that happened around what? We're living in 2013 AD, so there you have it, around two millennia ago. And I think Jesus told the people, no, I don't think, actually it's Matthew 23. He said, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. But don't worry, it'll be built up in the last days before I come. No, he didn't say that. That's what the Christian evangelicals say. And I'll also leave a wailing wall for you, a wailing wall, so that your political leaders can go there and put a message in the crack. A little rabbi can take them by the arm and take them up to the top. They can wear their little skull caps. And they can put a message to me, a prayer, write it out, put it on a piece of paper, fold it up, put it in a crack, and they can pray there at the wall. You know, somehow or other, I just can't find that anywhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament. That's pure mumbo jumbo. I laugh when I see that kind of nonsense going on. Jesus said of the temple, not one stone will be left on another. How could there be a temple there? How could there be a wall left? Well, the Jews want you to think that Jesus lied. His prophecies didn't come true. But they did come true. There was not one stone left upon another. And later, the Romans actually had to build a fort there at the Temple Mount. They called it Fort Antonia. Check your history. When it fell into disrepair, one of the walls stayed up, and that was Fort Antonia's wall. The Jews say, oh, that was a wall that was left from the temple. They're even lying to you there. Every one of our politicians goes up there. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is so great, so wonderful. When I have a need, I can pray to him, and I don't have to fly all the way to Jerusalem, get a rabbi to take me up to the wall, put on a black little cap, and write my prayer in a piece of paper and stick it in a crack. Jesus will listen to me right here on this planet in Austin, Texas, at 1708 Patterson Road, on my knees. Jesus will hear my prayer. So you tell all these filthy, dirty, mixed up, conniving, power seeking politicians to go on over there, do it. Kiss up to the Jews. Go up to their wailing wall of Fort Antonia. But don't think Jesus is going to be waiting for them there. That's mumbo jumbo. That's voodoo. They're all practicing voodoo. Well, I got off subject there. I got off topic. But I'm just telling you the truth. Jesus is wherever you're at. And if you belong to him, he's in your heart. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. A woman came to us one time here and she said, I just don't feel I'm saved. I said, do you feel that you have Jesus in your heart? No. I said, well, then you're not saved. But are you sure of your feelings? See, a lot of us feel things that are not so. Read John in the New Testament. It will tell you how you can know whether or not you have Jesus Christ. You can know. Well, I sinned yesterday, or I've done this or that, or I got angry at my husband or wife or whatever. I'm not worthy. No, you're not worthy. God will give you the power to resist sin, but seek him out and show that you're not a prideful person. You're an humble person. And willingly admit your errors to him. And the Bible says in John that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what I told that lady. Did you know she came all the way down here? She rode a bus all the way from Massachusetts. I want to know that I'm really saved, she said when she got here. I said, you came all the way to Austin, Texas to see Tex Mars to find that out? She says, yes. But you have God's word. You don't need my word. I don't know your heart. And people's hearts can actually lie to them. The devil can be saying, you're not saved. You're not saved. And you need to tell the devil, get out of my life. Jesus, take charge. Jesus, tell me whether I'm saved or not. Speak to my heart. He's not unreasonable. He loves you. He'll speak to you. You don't need to go across the nation from Massachusetts to Texas. You don't need to fly over to Jerusalem, spend thousands of dollars to go to some stupid wall. Jesus is where you're at. Now, he's not going to just go to you or do what you want because of your whim. But I'm here to say, if you sincerely, very much in your heart, want to talk to Jesus, he wants to talk to you. He stands at the door and knocks. Do you realize that's in the book of Revelation? He's standing at the door and knocking, but so few open the door and it stays shut. Open that door, friends. All right. The book DNA Science and Jewish Bloodline, just $20, add $5 shipping and handling. It just come out. It's a brand new book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. How to get it? Well, just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. You can buy it on amazon.com, but you know, you help our ministry out. We just, there's several dollars we get to keep, and we keep going. I don't get any royalty or anything. So don't think you're making me rich, but I appreciate it because the ministry keeps going. And boy, do we ever need your help. We need your help so much. Every cent will go back into the ministry. I promise you that. Now, here's how to write to us and send us the $25. That's $20 for the book, $5 shipping and handling, total of $25 for DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Send your request to 1708 Patterson Road. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us too, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. You know, friends, I was talking about pride a moment ago. America has an excess of pride. And in the book of Job is a very interesting quote. It tells us that the children of pride are those people who belong to the devil. Now, I know we have this thing where everybody wins an award. You know, when I was a kid, if 20 people ran the race, one got a little trophy or a little, you know, blue ribbon. But now they don't want to embarrass anybody, so all 20 of them get it. Talking to my grandson, and his mother said he won a trophy for the Little League. I said, oh, he did? Your team was number one? And he looked at me sort of sheep and said, uh-huh. I said, really, your team was number one? Well, they all were. They all were? How many teams are there? 16. All 16 were number one? Yes. Everybody got a trophy that, you know, played. Even the people that didn't get to play got a trophy. I said, there was no number one? No, we were all equal. Well, that's great. That's just, hey, Wall Street, what are you doing paying people different salaries? Give them all equal pay. The guy that works at McDonald's, he gets paid $500,000 a year, just as much as the executive who works at Apple Computer. Oh, you can't do that? That's what we're teaching kids. Well, you know, I went to the Bible to look up some Bible verses about pride. I remembered a lot of them. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Boy. That's pretty tough. Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride will bring you low. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Man, I tell you, I don't think I want to have that pride. Proverbs 16, 18, you may have heard of this one before. It's very famous. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Just when you think you're so prideful, you're so powerful, you're so rich as a country, you've got everything you need, be careful. You've got a haughty spirit, and the fall surely comes. That's why I know America's not going to survive until 2025. We think we could just roll our armed forces, our ships, our aircraft, our drones into every country on earth, Pakistan, Yemen, Libya, Afghanistan, and kill people. And we'll get away with it. We'll keep driving our new cars, building our new homes, making all our money. We'll keep drinking liquor. We'll be partying at nightclubs. No, nothing will ever fall on us. It falls on them overseas. We kill them. Oh. 1 John is a great verse. It says, 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I've got a bigger house than my neighbor. Drive a bigger car, too, costs more. My wife has nicer clothes. We're going to go on vacation this year. Our kids all dress better than the neighbors down the street. I won't get a big promotion in my job this year. That's of the world, folks. That is of the world. 2 Timothy tells why do you feel that way? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I think you've seen that kind of teenager, haven't you? Unthankful, unholy. You teenagers out there that are not obeying your parents, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. It's usually the biggest homes, the nicest households, where the young person is given everything that he wants or she wants, that turn out to be cruddy people. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. Proverbs 30, verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're filthy, but they think that they're pure. Don't you see that in America today? Look at all these mega churches. And you got the smiley boy from Houston and the other guy that's America's pastor, Rick Warren, over in California. I don't talk about sin, you know. I don't know anything about sin. I just know that God wants you to be happy. This is your lucky day. Well, I don't like fundamentalism. It's the most evil system on earth, fundamentalism. That's what Rick Warren said. Well, what is fundamentalism? You believe in the fundamentals of the Bible? That's wicked. That's what he says. Who makes up stuff like that? Ezekiel 28:17 says, thine heart, let's talk about Satan now. Satan here. It's describing Satan. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Oh, he was a beautiful creature. Do you think Satan is ugly? Devil looking? He's so repugnant. You don't even want to look in his face. You're wrong. You're wrong. He's a beautiful creature. Or he was. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He was bright. He was lovely. Did you know that Satan's body was like jewels? That's right. In Ezekiel, it actually lists all the jewels that his body was made of. Can you believe a person's body, a being's body made up of diamonds and all these emeralds and all these jewels? I've never heard of such a thing. What a lovely creature he was. But Ezekiel 28, verse 17 says, I will cast thee to the ground. Boy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 is exactly what's going to happen to the prideful. It calls them traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And is the United States not like great Babylon? Listen to what the king of Babylon spoke right before the end came. The king spake, this is Daniel chapter 4, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That's what the king said. He was telling the truth. Everybody, they could see it with their own eyes. What a great nation. All honor to the king. He was dead before the next day. Now, folks, think about this. There's no such thing today as two political parties. The Republicans in Congress are dead meat. They do whatever Obama and the Jewish lobby tell them. Immigration is not enforced. Mexicans come across the border at will. Why do they come? To soak up billions of dollars of free government welfare. Voting is a joke. Most races are rigged. The people have no real choice. Obamacare is going to break the backs of the middle class. Amnesty will break our backs. If Obamacare doesn't, amnesty will be given tens of millions of illegals. And the House of Representatives wants it so. And House Speaker John Boehner is impotent and worthlessly spastic. Don't expect Boehner or other Republicans to come to your rescue. They're going to do a lot of talking, and that's all. Senator Rand Paul, is he our rescue? Well, no. He went over to Israel, he and Ted Cruz, to suck up to the bigwigs over there. And when they got back, Senator Rand admits that he speaks to an official of the Jewish lobby each and every day. That's what he said. I heard it with my own ears. He said, I speak with an official of the Jewish organizations every day. Wow. There's a black race war going on against whites, encouraged by our racist in chief, Barack Obama. Think about it, folks. A World War II vet named Shorty, 88 years old. Black youths grab him in a parking lot and pound him to death. Then in Houston, this takes the cake. A little 12-year-old boy, white boy, is kidnapped by a 44-year-old black woman. What does she want with him? Well, you see, she's a welder. That's her job, this 44-year-old black woman. She took this 12-year-old boy, took him back to her apartment. She tied him up. And then she used her blowtorch on him. She torched the boy to death. How would you like to die? Your wrists tied together, your legs tied together. 12 years old. Some black woman you don't know has kidnapped you. And then she used a blowtorch. The charred, burnt body was found about a mile from her house. In Oklahoma, two blacks and a white say they were so bored. They went out looking in their car for some white guy to shoot in the back, and they got one. And the loons are saying nothing about this. Obama doesn't criticize the blacks. Of course, he criticized Zimmerman. He thought that Zimmerman ought to be executed or whatever. What did Zimmerman do? Well, a figure came out of some bushes and grabbed him and knocked him down and was beating the dickens out of him. And the beating went on for about 45 seconds before he took a gun out and shot the guy, defending himself. Zimmerman was knocked to the ground. Trayvon Martin was on top of him, beating the dickens out of him. Bloodied the back of his head, gave him a broken nose. But Zimmerman should have let it continue, say all the blacks and the liberals and our racist in chief, Barack Obama. And our attorney general says you cannot defend yourself when attacked by a white, only a black. Oh, wait, that's not right, is it? In any case, now they build monuments for this crud, Trayvon Martin. They're going to build monuments for the guy in his hoodie, his black hoodie. And the real neighborhood hero, Mr. Zimmerman, is being investigated by the FBI. That's the way it happens. He was found innocent. Let's go investigate him. Economically, America's a mess. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Bernanke, is about to resign. He's been keeping it. It's like, you know, keeping something, you know, together with duct tape. Obama has a fake budget. He spends whatever he wants to. And the Fed just counterfeits the dollars with its printing presses over and over and over. Billions, trillions of dollars going out. We don't know what for. There is no budget in America. They haven't made a presidential budget up in years. And Big Brother is watching all of us, aren't they? We have the world's greatest domestic and international police force and intelligence forces. We're all being watched by whirling computer machines and secret agents that are traitorous. They know every penny you make, spend, and keep hidden. They know of your guns and your ammo. They're watching you and me with video cams in the streets, in the stores, in the banks, everywhere. They're reading your emails. They're wiretapping your phones. You say, well, do they have a warrant for this? No, they don't have any warrant for this. They break the law thousands of times a day, a million times a day. They're building a National Security Agency center seven times as big as the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is the biggest building in the world. The government is building robots so that robots can maraud and kill us. That's all they're for. They're spending billions of dollars for robots. And the government, Big Brother, lies all the time. Lies. Folks, the death chase is on. That's why America We're not going to be here past 2025. I'm not prophesying. I'm predicting. The death chase is on. What is a death chase? What's what happened with Russia and Lenin and Trotsky in 1917? It happened later with Suharto in Indonesia, with Pol Pot in Cambodia. Obama, or the next president's faithful, fervent servants, will spring to the attack. He's got a civilian corps. Did you know there's something called the presidential code on all cell phones? You have to know how to get it. But one day, your phone's going to ring. It's going to be President Obama. This is the President of the United States. We have a national emergency. He's going to make one little phone call to the whole world. It can be done now. There's a presidential code that you don't even know about on your phone. He can call you. You can't call him. And he will raise up the civilian corps that he's been training. Oh, you didn't know about that? Oh, it's there. Health and Human Services, HHS, and the Homeland Security Department that did not exist before George W. Bush. Who's going to show up for his civilian corps to quell the emergency? Well, that would be about 10 million black misfits. Hispanic alien hangers on. Liberal wackos and homosexual transgender nuts. Obama, or who's the next president, will give the word, and the death chase will be on. What is the death chase? In Indonesia, 1 million people died. They were kicking heads. Kicking the heads at decapitated playing soccer. The kids were playing with people's heads. We're giving guns to drug gangs, to drug lords in Mexico, giving guns. Attorney General Hal Holder refuses to talk about it. And Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security, millions, 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 millions of assault weapons bullets. She's purchased 1,700 armored personnel carriers for domestic use, against us. And government agencies in every agency, especially the IRS and the Environmental Protection Agency, now are fully armed and ready to go. They're all armed. And there's millions, millions of bullets they've ordered in advance. And FEMA's got its many gulag camps primed and ready for peak occupancy. Folks, the death chase is on. Or it will be as soon as our president gives the message by cell phone with his presidential code. It could begin on May 1st. That's International Communist Day. Or perhaps on the anniversary of a 9/11. I don't really know. But count on it by 2025. Count on it by 2025. You've only got a dozen years left. But don't be surprised if the death chase is kicked off earlier. It's happening now throughout the Middle East and in sad Palestine. Courtesy of Netanyahu and his gang of monstrous Khazar misfits. But it's coming to a little town, little village, the city near you. It's coming. It's coming. The death chase. I'm Tex Mars, friends, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.